We ask and receive insight, knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, concerning healing in our physical bodies, that every sick person receive healing, that everyone troubled with one sickness or the other, either in their families or in their bodies, receive encouragement and receive healing in their bodies in the name of Jesus. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified, we're edified and healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have your seat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, like we announced, we will be having healing school. I will think we might have it today, tomorrow, and Thursday. So we can have it in that succession. Now I'm going to read to you two testimonies, just two of them, that I got about 2 weeks ago, before the World Changers Conference. And I want you to pay attention. Like I said, this series is not likely the one that you are going to find online. This school is a school. And so, just like every school, you are meant to listen and then practice what you have learned, like a test. So I'm going to read two testimonies for you. They came in the space of 3 days or 2 days apart. Now, I want you to listen very well. Good evening, sir. I trust the day went well. About 3 weeks ago, I tested positive for hepatitis B, inflammation of the liver, during a medical exercise at the place where I was supposed to work. Mentioned the organization, it's a multinational, which the hematology laboratory in Lasuth, Ikeja, also confirmed. Even though I've had to undergo series of advanced tests afterwards and met with consultants twice there, where I was told medically there is no cure. However, I trust the healing arm of Jesus. Hence, I refuse to believe the report of man, but hold on to Christ's provision of healing. Over the last 2 weeks, I've stood together in prayers with brethren around me, and we have confessed divine healing, which is my inheritance in Christ. The organization, I almost mentioned the company, was meant to have rejected me because this contradicts the ethics. But luckily, I was accepted but not allowed to resume until further notice. I was told to go and do another test. So the HR spoke to me on Monday that I will have to do that test again under the supervision of their own consultants. This will now end their decision of whether they are going to reject me or accept me. I would want you to pray for me as I go back to another test next Friday. As he mentioned it, thanks so much. He said, thank you, sir. I said, bless you. Now, all I said was one sentence. I didn't read the testimony. So I didn't read the story. As soon as I said it was healing, I didn't have to know the details. I just gave a quick answer. And I want to show you something so that... Okay, I won't give you the time, but he asked this question while I was watching a football game. And that's quite the time. So I just said, healing is yours in Jesus' name. Then he came back the Friday now. He said, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Thanks and thanks. I am dancing right now because the test came out negative. Somehow I was surprised. Okay, I'll give you the second one. Now, these folks weren't present in any meeting. All right, this is another one. Okay, it's a longer one. Good afternoon, sir. It's been really a long time. I hope you and the family are doing well, etc. I just received a call from the wife of one of the pastors I've been sharing your materials with in Anambra State. saying that the husband is seriously sick and going through severe pains. He mentioned the sickness. It was a terminal condition. It's been like that for 3 days, and it's getting worse now. She said the pain has increased. He can't stand, he can't talk, and he can't do anything. He's basically been carried everywhere. According to her, the sickness has got to the point where he has totally lost his voice, and he only responds to motions. So this afternoon, he managed to say something to them by a sign. Call Prince and tell him to reach out to Pastor Anoyeka for me so that this suffering will not lead to death. I don't know this person. I've been online. I've not been online all day, but I've had to reach out to you immediately she called. Sir, this pastor was the one who trained me in the word from when I was still very small till I grew up. Upon catching light of the word in late 2012, I kept giving him every gospel material I came across, especially those of Andrew Womack. His major breakthrough came, however, when he encountered your materials. He had to restart his ministry entirely, even leaving where he was before to another location. He's a very strong believer in you. However, you can help us in prayers. However, you can help us in prayers will be greatly appreciated. I wouldn't want to lose him now, sir. All the reports I'm hearing seems to mean he's on his way to heaven, let alone this way. Thanks a lot, sir, for all your labor of love over my life, our lives. I don't take it for granted. So I said, okay, send me his number. So they sent me his number. He mentioned his name. I didn't call until 3 days. I actually forgot. When I now called, I called normally and then left it. Then he responds just the day after. No, it's not the day after. Okay, just the day after. Thank you so much, sir. Reverend, my reverend's wife informed me you called yesterday. I don't take it for granted. God keep you and yours for ages. Good health, vitality. He left it. So this is 2 weeks after, December 19th. I hope you had a great week. I didn't get to read this until... Okay, that was the... Yeah, I read it. I hope you had a great week. Now, the interesting thing about this testimony was I was just praying and getting clear instructions about... I teach healing every year, so my point isn't teaching healing. It's about this particular school. So this testimony just came in as I was praying. And it says, I hope you had a good night rest. I want to also thank you for your help concerning the issue I brought to you the last time. My pastor is fully healed and okay. He got his last confirmatory test just yesterday. I was with him last week, and he said immediately after you called, everything started changing. The symptoms continually reduced drastically until yesterday. He left the place that they took him to the hospital, that he had been there for many days now. He had not received anything that looked like he was going to get healed. Now he's back at home. The tests have come out all negative. Thanks a lot for your prayers. Only God knows what will have happened if you never came in. I do not take this help for granted at all. Thank you. I just said, Jesus is glorified. Thanks a million. Bishop, I'm so glad, sir. Said, I'm very glad, sir. Thank you greatly. Thank you greatly. Praise the Lord. All right. So now look at the two instances I mentioned. The two folks reached out. You know, there's a whole lot of difference when there's a healing meeting and then there's a call and then you come. The two people I just read, and it happened the same within 2-3 days. They reached out. I can read other ones to you, but these two stood out. Because I was musing over this healing school. The two of them reached out themselves. And that was important. I remember one time I was discussing with Pastor Tuxo. We had this conversation about healing terminal cases. And he said something. Somebody was meant to have been sick in Lagos. And then they asked him to come. He said, a demonstration of faith itself is for the person to have come herself. So sometimes healing is initiated by God. Let me leave it at that. What we call the healing meetings, where we pray for the sick and then we give words of knowledge. But more often than not, healing can be initiated by the recipient. I just told you in these two instances I did not pay attention to what they were saying. I know, even if it's cancer, even if it's anything, I'll just pray a simple prayer of faith. I didn't have to do anything extra. I knew that the beneficiary will have to release his faith. Now, obviously, in the two instances, by reaching out to me, already shows a sign of believing. Okay? And then in the two cases, I remember one case like that of this particular fellow, just something similar, but just a bit different. And he was in a coma, I must have shared it, and it was 2014, I think, or 15, was in a coma, and just told the cousin, I think, or the nephew, and said, call Pastor Onoyinka, check out of him on Facebook, something like that. They reached out to me, he says, I don't know this person you're talking about. He said, yes. And put the phone on this fellow who had passed out and was in a coma for about 3-4 days or thereabout. I said, shall I come? He said, no. I just said, call. And that was how she, a woman now again, got out of that condition. In those two instances, their faith was the fact that they reached out. Not that what it means is that when it comes to healing, as important as it is for the minister to initiate healing, you can take steps to initiate your own healing. You can take steps to initiate your own healing. Vital, accurate steps to initiate your own healing. And so, these sessions we are going to hold, 7 in number, will be more of how you initiate it. Now, naturally, if we have a camp meeting, believers convention, Holy Ghost meetings, church services, already the meetings initiate that for you. But now we deal with, there's no meeting. You are right there in your house. You have been admitted in an hospital. And something happens. How do you initiate? That's why I read those two testimonies for you. Now, I could have read other ones. I came for your meeting, which is also good, you know. And then there was a call. You said this, you said that. We have hundreds of that, thousands of that. But one thing I learned from Brother Hagin, and I think it's impressed upon my heart to share much of what I'm going to be doing, was more of, oftentimes when people get healed in mass meetings, Holy Ghost meetings, when it comes down to them personally, they often don't know what to do. And so, we want to look at it. I'm going to take questions from you, and we will be able to look at it. As we are led by the Spirit of God, we pray. But more importantly, I want you to listen well. And listen very, very well. We can intelligently initiate and receive healing. Now, one of the ways I think, and this is one of the things I think about healing. I remember 27 years ago, it was actually going to 28, that I had the cause to be diagnosed of a kidney condition. And I'm not sure much of what I knew about healing. Like, practically didn't know. In a couple of months, it would be 28 years. I can't know what I've seen testimonies, I've seen, you know, but I never thought that I'll get to a point where I would actually require, you know, what it was. You know, and one of the things that, you know, always gets me thinking was the fact that today, I've taught series of healing in how many years? I don't think there's a year in 25, 26 years I've not taught about healing. But you see, then, I didn't know more than a healing scripture. I can't remember knowing any definite fact about healing. I just saw it as a miracle. God moved. People were blessed. People were healed. But I recall that the only scripture that I knew, I couldn't even quote it. I didn't know where it was that there was a Don Moen song. You know, there's God Will Make a Way, where he had this recording and sang, gave thanks with a grateful heart. Jehovah Jireh, my brother. Not the one that he did live worship. There's a live worship one that is also afterward. This one, I think, was 87. I just remembered, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That was all. My brethren, I had gotten healed before I knew, well, I had received my healing by faith, before I knew where the verse was. So, in other words, I was able to initiate how I got healed without having to amass so much. So when it comes to healing, faith is enough. No size of faith, no magnitude of faith. Faith is enough. So I want to look at it in a very simple way. And in a simple way, I want you to take these sessions like your doctor is telling you what to do. And you are listening seriously. You're not trying to say, okay, will it work? I don't know how many of us see our doctors and hope it works. We actually want it to work. Amen. Am I making sense? I mean, you want it to work. In fact, from a child, you knew how to say, take me to the doctor, give me medicine. You knew how to initiate that on your own. So, listen to it in that light. I don't know anybody who goes to the doctor to think, okay, so if somebody has headache, this is what it takes. I will tell my friend. No, at that point, all that is on your mind is yourself. Look forward to that drug, that after 3 times you take it, the fever is gone, or the injection, you think as the injection is done or is administered, you know. As funny as it is, we actually do release our faith for medical care. More often than not, we initiate it. And it shows faith in it. And you discover that there are people who don't have access to medical care in the sense of the orthodox medical care where you have to go to the hospital and equally get well, maybe in the villages and so on and so forth. So either way, it shows that whether it is the orthodox or the, you know, people have to release their faith. They have to believe in what is being administered. That is the reason why you will take Nivaquin. I don't know whether anybody knew Nivaquin. Despite the fact that it was very bitter, but man, you rather take something bitter than remain on that bed. And if you were like me, you start seeing lions when you have malaria. You rather take something that's very bitter. You rather take the injections, you know, painful, sometimes at odd hours, which means you were actually releasing your faith. And when you were taking the injections, you were not thinking it would work. I don't know anybody who was like that. Neither were you thinking that somebody needed it. No, it was about you. So, you know, it's the same way. This is not a series on healing. So you understand healing and you know how to talk about healing. No. It is a school where you will take it to the test of healing and sickness and pass. Amen. Is that clear? So that's why I read those two testimonies to you. And I believe that as time goes on, if I pick some other ones like that are similar, I will show you. Well, I read those two out because they initiated it. And I showed you as much that I didn't even know what one was talking about. The other one, I didn't have much. I just said, okay, this man believes in you. He's a pastor. They said he's going to die. I said, okay, give my phone. Let me just call. And what did I just say? I said, sorry, how has he been? And I can't remember all I said. I practically just said the same words. I said, thank you. That he hears you. I said, can he hear me? He said, the man can hear me. And all of that. And the man is in charge now, and glory to God. So, here we are, is just simple things. You know, the same way you read behind that cellophane, small cellophane paper, where they put the drugs, and they ask you 2-3 times daily. You don't need to do anything, but just do exactly what you were told. Amen. Alright. So, I want to look at healing, just in a very simple way. And I'll start today by saying seven or eight things, eight simple things that you should always remember about healing. Seven or eight simple things, actually seven, you should always remember about healing. Now, I want to make an assumption that everybody in this room are believers. Okay, based on that assumption, I will now say that the first and vital thing is to know that healing is a sign of redemption or the redemptive work of Christ. There is no believer that has not heard that word before. Okay, what is the redemptive work of Christ for? Some will say it's for sin. Some will say it's for sin, sickness, and prosperity. Some will say it's for getting to heaven. Some will say it's for righteousness, consciousness, or righteousness as a gift. Now, we are not going into all that nitty-gritty. We're just saying in a simple way that a sign that Jesus is our Savior is that He heals our bodies. Okay? What it means, therefore, is that if I released my faith, in the sense of I believed to be saved. Now, let's even look at something I was going to talk about. You know, nobody gets saved on his own. One. Let me say the other one. Nobody gets saved because God wanted him to be saved. People are saved. Now, look at that salvation. Salvation means, if you say, what's the will of God? That all men be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Why did the Son of Man come? Luke 19, verse 6 now, to save those who are lost. And then you say that, now, notice that though it's the will of God, but a man will call upon the name of the Lord. He will call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, is written upon all who call upon him. He that calls upon him shall not be ashamed. So he will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Yes, God, in the sacrifice of Jesus, has made a provision for salvation, but nobody is saved just because Jesus died for our sins. People are saved because they believe it. Now, let me say this. People are not saved because they know it. People are not saved because they can talk about it. I've seen preachers, allow me to use that phrase, who stood on the pulpit and called Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And I preached in that church. I gave a call for salvation and the preacher came out to be saved. So the fact that you can talk about it does not mean you are saved. Now don't forget, God initiates it in the death of his Son and the resurrection of Jesus, Romans 4:25. Develop for our first reason for our justification. But a man is only saved when he calls upon the name of the Lord. That is salvation. Salvation, a man can be sick and he's saved. Do you understand? And he has eternal life. And a man can be healed and he's damned and he goes to hell. Which means that salvation, if you say, let's look at the other priority. Salvation will be the one that has the utmost priority. Yet, even though God in his Son initiates salvation, salvation still has to be believed and then received. Let's go over it again. Just knowing that God sent Jesus to die is his salvation. Telling others that God sent Jesus to die, is his salvation? No, not at all. So, the fact that God even initiated it is not the end. It's not the end. So, if salvation initiated by God on his own, will demand that a man should believe it. And believing is not mental assent. Before my dad, God said, if you asked him, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He will say yes. Do you believe that he rose from the dead? He will say yes, because he heard that from a child. His father was a prophet. But if you asked him, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He will tell you he doesn't believe that. He hasn't done that. But he knows virtually what you are going to tell him. He knows the scriptures. But he was not born again till he released his faith to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So, having a mental assent. Mental assent says, I've seen it before, I know it, I can recognize it. You can even shout, I believe it. But when you tell mental assent, act upon it, it will say, how? How? Are you sure it's for everybody? Are you sure that's how God wants it? Hey, what about the Muslims? Are you saying God will condemn them? What about those who have not heard? That is mental assent. It will agree with what you have said. It can even tell somebody, you better receive God into your life. You better worship God. You better serve God. It will say those things. But ask him to act upon it. He will not do it. Mental assent will admire it. It will talk about it, but it will never act upon it. So we said the first thing is to see healing as a sign of the redemptive work of Jesus. Since we are all believers, how do you get born again? You believe in your heart. You said with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't have to be that mechanical. But something that your heart and mouth agreed and you confessed him as Lord. You didn't just do that. You acted upon it. And then you could tell anybody, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have him, you can even say, he's my personal Lord and Savior. You have acted upon it. Now, how much more healing? How much more healing? Should I say, how much less healing? Maybe. In Matthew's Gospel 8, verse 16, Matthew tells us that Jesus healed all that were sick of their diseases and cast out the spirit of his word. 17 now says that it might be fulfilled. That which was written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, himself bore our infirmities and took our sicknesses. That it might be fulfilled. Now, leave out, okay, that's pointing to the cross or the resurrection of Jesus. Leave it out. But something is, there is therefore a relationship between Jesus bearing our sins, which he eventually did on the cross, and then to the throne, with Jesus healing our bodies. I don't need more faith to be healed than I have as a Christian. I should be able to easily accept him to heal my body if I accept him that he saved me from sins. Yeah. So it's as much a sign. Now look at Matthew 11. When John the Baptist sent his disciples to go and ask, are you the one to come or should we expect another? He said, go tell John that the blind receive their sight, lame are walking, deaf ears are unstopped, And all of that, lepers are healed, deaths are raised. He says that the poor have the gospel of them. And he says, blessed is who is not offended in me. But the truth is, he said as much to John, that look, John, tell John, if you want to know whether I'm the one that will bear sins, this is the proof. Sicknesses have been healed. If you want to know whether I'm the same one that you prophesied, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the whole world, or the sin of the whole world. This is it. So therefore, It means that I must therefore see healing, bodily healing, in relationship with salvation, is a sign of it. Look at the book of Acts. When they said, well, God singled out Jesus with signs and wonders. Acts 2:22. Precisely Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Now listen to that. You know, I can know that scripture and quote it and not act upon it. I can. I've had pain on my body before. And I was freaking feeling feverish hot. And I laid hands on about 14, 15 people. And all of them got well. All. So, your ability to even minister healing or talk about it does not know you know to receive healing or you receive healing. So, knowing that scripture is not equal to acting upon it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So healing is good. Very simple. Healing is a proof that Jesus was anointed of God. Simple. Sickness is of the devil. Now, sure, there are times that sicknesses can come because of this and that. But you know, it is not wrong to actually believe that 100% of sickness is of the devil. See, it's almost easier for you to release your faith that way than to be able to explain where it came from. Otherwise, the devil. You say, no, not like that. Sometimes it's a breakdown. Sometimes that over-explanation could be unbelief. You might know it, that well, you were careless, maybe you didn't sleep on time, and give all the reasons here and there. But you know something? You would rather just say it's of the devil and confront it that way. Either way, you'll get healed. Oh, it's of the devil. And say quickly that the devil is under my feet. And just say that. What are you simply doing? You are releasing your faith to the fact that the sickness is not of God and it's of the devil and it's a work. Because something that is key there is that it's not of God. So anybody can claim it. Whether it's the devil or your society or natural condition, let them be claiming it. What you want to claim, you don't have an argument with who did it, the specific person. It is healing is of God, and I want to get healed. So you won't bother your head. You know, someone say, but it's not all the time. Say, look, see, you know, you don't go into all that argument where you need healing very, very desperately. Yeah, well, you see, if you look at it, no, look, Oga, I want to get healed. It's of the devil. Leave me alone. Are you the devil? Do you understand? So, as simple as that is, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews 2 and 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will severally. So we see that in the gospel being preached, which is Jesus being raised from the dead, a sign of it is that our bodies are being healed. If I was to measure faith, which is not a New Testament practice, if I were to measure faith, it takes more faith to be saved than to be healed. If I were to measure faith, it takes more faith to be healed. Sorry, to be saved than to be healed. Because, let's stop at that. So the first thing, healing is a proof that Jesus saved me from my sins. Healing is a proof that Jesus died for my sins. Secondly, this is almost the simplest and yet the one that is hardly practiced. Healing is the will of God. Healing is the will of God. Healing is the will of God. Now, you know, that's like the... But that's simple now. I've not seen a single believer who will say sickness is the will of God. Now, they can say sometimes God wants you to test it and all that. But they'll first agree that they will say that the minute somebody gets healed, God is unhappy. Nobody's going to ever say that. They can now go into, well, sometimes God is trying to do something. Sometimes he withdraws his healing. But I have yet to see a single believer, even those who don't even believe Jesus rose from the dead, to say, well, healing makes God sad. So on that simple basis, that healing is the will of God, I can initiate my healing. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins. Faith does not act in a vacuum. That, oh, I'm taking a risk. No. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So, I said the second one is equally the simplest, but the one that is hardly acted upon. Healing is the will of God. Say, healing is the will of God for me. You know, you cannot tell what the will of your father is, your earthly father is. You can only tell what they tell you. Sometimes they change, sometimes they do this, sometimes they do that. Even your spouse, what do they really desire for you? Sometimes it depends. But you know, you can always say that I'm not going to think twice. That what is the will of my heavenly father now? I have this neck pain. It comes off and on. I have this back pain off and on. I have this stomach trouble off and on. I am not going to think twice about it. About it. Look at the two testimonies I read to you. A standout was that both of them, with what they said, and that was on their heart, both of them believed God wanted them well. It's important to have that at the back of your mind, though, that healing is the will of God for me. Look at Matthew 8. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you want, you can make me clean. Lord, if you want, you can make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Which means that really, it's established in God's word that healing is the will of God. If Jesus is God, that means healing is the will of God. You know, we pray about what is the will of God for my, where do I walk? What's the will of God? Who do I marry? What's the will of God? Should I travel? If there's one you must never pray about, is it the will of God that I get healed now? Or think twice about. Is it the will of God? You know, we say, salvation is the will of God. Yeah. Healing is also the will of God. It must be settled on my heart. Because where I have doubts, I can't release faith in an atmosphere of doubt. There must not be another opinion outside this straightforward fact, right now, healing is the will of God. I mean, when the pain increases in pressure. I don't think that those who called me, I don't think that was the first time they would pray. I don't think that was the first time they would, I don't think so. From what they said, no. But you know what, something? There's also something about faith that doesn't give up. I know this is the will of God. I'm sure it's the will of God. I'm sure it's the will of God. I'm rest assured that I should be up from that bed now. I'm rest assured that I should walk without pain anymore. I'm sure about that. I'm sure what God wants now is for the pain to leave my head. I'm sure that what He wants right now is for the pain to leave my stomach. I'm sure that what He wants now, I know about it, since I do. It therefore must be settled on my heart, same way I'm born again. I say to myself, well, this is the will of God now. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about this very briefly. Even if a person is taking a medical prescription, do you understand? And, you know, that's what he's doing. There's nothing in God's word that says you don't take it. Absolutely nothing. Even if you are, you should still, in the midst of using the natural, release your faith and say, I know that it is the will of God that this should work. I know it is the will of God that this should also work. Either way, it is the will of God that you be well. Settle that on your heart. Settle that. Let it be so sound. Somebody told me this. You have to use glasses. You know, I mean, the issue of glasses is a bit, somehow I'll talk about it in these classes. And he said, he got the glasses, put it on. He's a Bible school instructor. He said, I believe God that within a year I'll drop it. Now, they told him why he had a bad eyesight. He knew it was his carelessness. So he took the medication. In fact, the person who gave him the medicated glasses was also a preacher. He had an hospital and all that, and he had an optician there. He said that he just said, well, within a year I'll drop it. Now, he wasn't saying it to the church, which is a mistake some people make. No. He said it to himself. He said within 9 months, the eye could see clearly. He went back to the church and the man said, I thought at your age, you probably use it for the rest of your life. This is obviously a miracle. Now, there will always be such instances where people would, even when they apply the natural, they will still believe God for a miracle. So, settle it on your heart that healing is God's will for you. Let me say it again. I don't want you to come to this class, or these classes, or these teachings, to be able to tell somebody. That's why we are not going to release the teaching. It's not something you are going to listen to online. If you miss a class, you have missed it. There's nothing that's going to happen. You just missed it. It's as simple as that. There's nothing like, okay, you can listen to it online. You won't see anything online. I want you to take it seriously. If your doctor, if it's a life-threatening case, he says come 5 times a day, you won't miss one. Take it seriously. Listen to God's word. You need to feed on it well. You know, there was someone who was believing God for healing. So, I checked her phone. Now, I've had these same testimonies about someone before. And I saw songs, movies. I said, you are not serious. You are not serious at all. See, I'm sure that in some of the movies you watch, they will show sickness and people dying in it. You don't need that now. I'm sure that you will hear, you will see something that will scare you. Because we are all a product of things we watch. At those moments, go to the extreme. At those moments, stay extreme. This is something, sometimes it's a life and death situation. At those moments, almost be like, so this world is not my own. That kind of thing. Like, look, I'm not for this world. I just want to stay on the word of God. Brother Hagin told the story of his wife, Aretha Hagin, who had an heart disease. The wife. I mean, Brother Hagin had been able to minister to many people. And then the wife was diagnosed. And they said that she had just a few years to live. Now, I must tell you that the wife had lived Brother Hagin himself later on. He said, well, just hold her. You know what to do. You've heard the word of God all along. You've been in all my meetings. Ha, you've seen testimonies. He said, okay, no problem. He said, what did he observe? Now, oftentimes in their marriage, Brother Hagin will be the one to cook. You know, please don't go and ask your husband to do that. That's Kenneth Hagin. He said he does it because he wants his wife to get up in the morning with lipstick. Brother Hagin was that very spiritually worldly. You know, that he just wanted her to have makeup early in the morning. That he wanted to see her. Now, obviously, because of that condition, she was always on the bed. Very ill. But she did something. She took all his tapes. Meetings where she was present. She said, anytime he woke up, because she always used to wake up before her, but at that period, she woke up before he did. She would hear the tape playing. She's in the bathroom or somewhere, and the tape is always playing. She would stay indoors, and the only thing she would listen to was the same teaching. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I mean, look at the discipline. Every day, you sleep hearing it. You wake up hearing it. Hearing the same thing, healing is God's will. It's God's will concerning this cancer now. It's God's will concerning this. Now, you are now going to, you know, and we are now in a very modern world. You open your phone, the first thing is, so-and-so dies of cancer. Yeah? That is why, in some time in my life, I stayed off news totally. That if I'm believing God for healing now, you will be shocked. I won't watch any news. I will disconnect from some things totally. Because you are human. Any false report will get your attention. It will. It's not at that time you go and check one automed online. Don't be silly. They don't have the cure. They don't have the cure. So she listened. Weeks and weeks. Sometimes she will skip his meetings. Just stay indoors. Just hear it alone. They got to the doctor. They said, something has just happened. You have a brand new heart. I'm sure it didn't happen the first week. I'm sure it didn't happen the second week. In fact, when they were going to check, she was still feeling tired and all that. But you know what? Faith will always win. I've seen someone go for a check. They said, he's still there. He said, I'm coming back again. They checked again. He said, he's still there. He said, I'm coming back again. Almost the 10th time. He said, what has happened? Who did you see? He said, I told you I was coming back again. And the person got healed. There was a man who prayed in the Bible, Elijah. He said, go and check. He said, there's nothing. Check again. You know? So, faith doesn't give up. Doesn't give up. So, know it in your heart that healing is the will of God for you now. Healing is the will of God for you now. There's something also. Now, the Christian life itself is such that by the word of God, we don't give up on circumstances. Check it. If you find out that you throw in the towel too often, there may come a time that is what will destroy you. If you find out that you throw in the towel too often, you just say, if it's going to happen, it will have happened yesterday after 24 hours. Write it down. One day, it will be a matter of life and death. Learn to sing a victory song in the face of defeat. Healing is God's will for me now. Now. I mean now. You know, I saw something. I'll talk about that later anyway. It's God's will. In John 5. John 9. He told Jesus about someone. That who was born blind? John 9, 1 to 4. Why was he born blind? Who sinned? This fellow or his parents? He said, nobody. But that the works of God might be made manifest. The works of God. The works of God. The deeds of God. The deeds of God. Sickness is not God's doing. Healing is God's doing. Healing is God's doing. Healing is God's doing in that matter. It's God's doing. It's God's doing. So at that period, feed your faith. Feed yourself on this truth well enough. Let me say something. I have disciplined myself. Probably some of you have not heard this teaching before. Curses rather than jokes. I got to discipline myself that if I'm going to joke about anything, there are some things I don't joke about. I like to humor people, but not sickness and disease. No. Don't use the works of the devil to humor anybody. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't joke about it. Don't. Just be careful. Particularly when you need healing now. So number two, healing is the will of God for me. Now, say that together with this. Sickness can never be God's will. You know, that's something that is simple. And watch it. Somebody dies of sickness, somebody you like, you respect, maybe the person has been a preacher of the word. Don't say rubbish. Now, don't mock the person and say, if you believe God, he would have died. Just say, well, we thank God for his life. He served God. He lived for God. I mean, his life is a testimony. But don't say, we don't know what God... Don't say anything stupid. Don't, in the name of comforting people, say rubbish. Don't say unbelief. It doesn't... See, your mind will register what you have said. And the mind works with words and pictures. It does. Now, I've seen people die before me. Like this. I've had just about two or maybe three that I had raised from the dead. I've seen others just die. These are even people close to me. You know what I do? Every time that picture comes, I get someone healed deliberately. You know, normally I should just, I remember this image. Oh my God. No, because I'm next in line and I'm wise enough to make sure that at that moment I don't get somebody healed. To show that that has happened, this can also happen. Never toy with a joke or with a joke. What if I just do this? What if this just happens to us? What if those are stupid things? Sickness, if you will not joke with sin, immorality, murder, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, don't use sickness in humor. Don't. Now, people around you can call you extreme. That's their business. Everybody is extreme on something. Some people are extreme on not being extreme on anything. So don't let anybody talk you out. Is that very clear? Mm-hmm. Sickness is never the will of God. Luke 13. Ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound, lo, 13 years, Luke 13, 16, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? Now, I want you to observe something. Yeah, there are cases where it's natural, people fall ill naturally and all that. But you know, biblically, you have more scriptures that the devil caused sickness than any other one. So it's of the devil. Be as resolute about it. Let the devil be the one say, you know me, oh, the guy just didn't sleep well. That's your business. You get my point? Don't be the one defending the devil. It's not like that, oh. You know, Don't let's blame the devil for every sickness. Actually, I want to. Hallelujah. So that we can have the devil look defeated concerning sickness and disease all the time. Ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound, Matthew 8:16, he healed the sick, cast out the devils, the demons, the spirits, with his words. That's number two. Healing is always God's will. Sickness is never God's will. Healing is always God's will. Sickness is never God's will. Healing is always God's will. Sickness is never God's will. Healing is always God's will. Sickness is never God's will. Healing is always God's will. Sickness is never God's will. The third one. Your body is mortal and frail. You know? Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your own mortal bodies. Yeah, the body is mortal. Philippians 3:21 calls it a frail body. 1 Corinthians 15 calls it a mortal body, corruptible. But hear this. If it's mortal and is subject to weakness, it means my body is God's target for healing. I mustn't focus on the nature of my body. There's no big deal about that. I must now say, you know what? It therefore makes my body the home of God's power. The home of God's power. If there's confusion, right? There's nothing glorifying God in confusion or in what he has not done. What will glorify him is for his power to be seen. My body is mortal. Therefore, it becomes a candidate, an object of God's power. So I mustn't stop by saying, you know, our bodies are mortal. You know, we are human. You know, our bodies are mortal. And then stop there. When you say it so often, you register a defeat on your heart. Oh, my body is mortal. You know, it's mortal. You know, what can I do? You know, that time of the year, it's a change of weather. Our body is mortal. See. Whether you say it or not, that's what's going to happen. You know, you don't have to say anything if you live in Nigeria to be a candidate for malaria. You know, just be at the right place at the right time. So, now, having to now strengthen that, does it make sense? Does it make sense? Someone told me, well, either you are denying the facts. I said, whether you deny it or not, the facts are there. So, whether you deny it or not, the facts are there. But what about the greater facts of God's word? What about the greater facts of God's word? Don't strengthen natural facts by repeating them so often. Don't strengthen natural facts by repeating them so often. One, we said, healing is a sign of the redemptive work of Jesus. Two, healing is the will of God. Sickness can never be the will of God. We will rather apportion all sick cases to the devil. We will not be wrong if we do. Three, my body is mortal, therefore it's the candidate for the healing power. Say, my physical body is an object and a candidate of and for God's healing power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say that often. It is. It's a candidate of God's healing power. I remember a lady. She reached out to me. 2009. I think I sent Bro Kola to give her the CDs. Kola around. The lady you went to, is it Ogudu you went to? Eh? Where? Ogudu. You gave the, what is it? I think it is not miracles. What was it about? Eh? Miracles. Now, I'd seen the lady last 2001 or two. So she just reached out to me. The husband mentioned this and just said it casually and said, well, I mean, let the will of God be done. That the doctor said that she can't have any child again. He had had one. So I said, well, what do you want? She said, what God wants. I said, no. God didn't marry your husband. What do you want? She said, well, I'm just saying that, you know, the way I said, let me repeat what I said, or else I'm not going to say it again. What do you want? I said, I want a child. I said, fine. Which sex? Ah, see, what's wrong with this guy? I'm ready to tell you the details of what the doctor said. I said, what would I do with the details? You want, by giving me two more details, the more details you say, if I would just say, let the will of God be done. Some people study x-rays. Not a doctor, you are studying it. So what moved here? What is missing? Okay, what are you going to do about it? They said this one is now down by 0.5%. Okay, what did you study it in school? No. So you are doing an insightful study on what? So I told her, what do you want? Says a child. I said, good. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. So what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to give you time. I will send to you a material. Listen to it. Whenever you reach out to me, I know you are ready. So I asked for a call out to give it. 2009. He did. So she sent a text to me via Facebook. I've gotten it. I didn't answer. She said, thank you for the thing. I didn't answer. That's not what I asked her to do. Don't thank me for the CDs. You are not yet well. Oh, the brother came. He said, well, I didn't answer. 2 or 3 weeks after, or maybe a month, she now said, wow, what a teaching. Wow. But I like the way you explain this. Oh, you are very funny, oh. Yeah, I didn't see the answer. Is that why I asked you to listen to it? You want a baby, you are saying I'm funny. Will I come into your womb? You say I'm funny. Is that the issue? Then I think she got the message. She said, I now got it. She said something that it took her a while to understand why I said she should listen to it. Sometimes it's just one statement I made. It may take you weeks to pick that statement. She said, now I'm ready. So I said, what is your ritual saying? She told me time. I said, we are going to say this. That 12 o'clock, August or so and so, was it September, that we received a baby boy. And by this time next year, you will have a child. I said, bye-bye. She named the child after me. Because all I said was, don't tell me the insights there. I didn't ask you for insights. I have church members who can tell me that. I asked you to get well. That what the doctor said, let us cancel it. Doctors only know what they are told. We know what God says. So don't tell me stories. That, look, she got a child. I think she had another one after. People don't stop in one place like Abraham. They just keep using God's power. You know? Number 4. A third of the entire life of Jesus was about healing. Jesus had more healing miracles than any other one. Which means that if you ask for the totality of God's will on earth, healing is at least a third of it. If you look at the totality of God's power in heaven on earth, a third is healing. Now, it makes me say this. Healing is a miracle. Healing is God's power working. Sickness is not God's power working. Healing is a miracle. You know, it means healing is not a feeling. Is a supernatural intervention of God's power. If I ask someone now, how are you today? Maybe we believed God together yesterday, we prayed. How are you today? You know what the person will say? I believe I'm getting better. I believe I'm getting better. It is a miracle. A miracle is the power of God working. I believe I'm getting better. Obviously, the person is living by observation. That, you know, yes,
Yes, I'm feeling better. Mm-mm. It's the power of God working. And there are times that the power of God is not felt in the natural. It's the power of God working. It's the power of God working. I believe I'm healed. Yesterday when we prayed, the power of God went into my body, went straight to my liver. It's working now. And I'm healed now. I'm healed now. Why? Healing is a miracle, not an observation. The power of God is working now. I believe I'm healed now. I believe the power of God is working now. Don't forget what I said. There is nothing in the healing power of God that forbids someone taking natural medication. Absolutely nothing. I think one of the injustices people have done in the healing ministry is to make people feel that when you take drugs, it is unbelief. It's absolutely not true. You can use your medication, right, and believe God that his power is working. However, don't put your trust in the medication. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And don't say because you believe God, throw away your medication. No. Now, I've seen people stop medication. And they'll say, well, they believe in their hearts that they should stop it. I often tell them, don't tell anybody this. People are likely going to follow that and be misled. And be misled. But you see, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. However, you will know when you put your trust in medication. You will know. You will know. You will know. You check your words. Check what's on your heart. Check what you are believing for. You will know whether your trust is on drugs or not. Let's get back to what I said earlier. Healing, therefore, is a miracle. The Greek word for miracles in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, we have the gifts of healings. Workings of miracles also mentioned. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, 2 to 30 talks about the workings of miracles. Now, a miracle simply means the power of God in active way, in active form. In John 14, 12, he that believes on me, the works I do shall he do, and greater works than this, because I go to my Father. We saw it earlier in John 9. I must walk the works of him that sent me. So healing is God's work. That means as a believer, in the name of Jesus, I receive healing. In the name of Jesus, I receive healing. Because Jesus is the right hand of the Father. Because he ascended up on high. And let captivity captive. This is the name of Jesus. So I say, in that name, I receive healing. In that name, I've had to shut myself in before. And just kept pacing up and down. Kept pacing up and down. Kept pacing up and down. And I was seeing the signs. Kept pacing up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. For a while. And I'll see the signs again after I've done it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I receive my healing. It's mine. I take it. I claim it. It belongs to me. It's working now in my body. Don't say it in church and get home and say I'm tired. More often you need to say it more at home. More often. You need to practice it more at home. Many of us is only in church. I would say, hey, thank God. Hallelujah. It is well, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, 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 hey. And when we get home, we start watching funny, funny things. Like I said, when it is crucial, you shut your mind from negative things. Totally. Negative things. Negative things. Sometimes, faith knows what not to say. I told this story before. Before we got married, Pastor Ola once had to do something in school. And, you know, she was believing to be the best in her class and all of that. I was not really particular about it because I was not best in my own class. That's just the plain truth. I mean, she's here. She's quite more brilliant than I am. So why would I not have her show it to my face? So, something that happened. She now saw her grades. It wasn't the best. She called me. She told me. I was actually with a friend when she called me. I was saying, she said, you know, I said, eh. I almost said, no problem now. She said, I just said to tell you, I'm believing it's going to change. She called the phone. I guess she sensed that this guy is into unbelief. Because I wasn't, for crying out loud, why am I stressing myself over somebody's grades? It didn't take long, she told me, that the man that set the grade on his own accord just came back and said he made a mistake. I put it right. I said, glory! I had nothing to do with this. That's just the truth. But the truth is that you know where to cut the phone. See, there are some times I don't need sorry. See, if you deposit a not sorry, the last one will be rest in peace. Right? Now, I'm not saying bread should not comfort you, you know, but I don't know what comfort is going to do. No. I'm on the bed, I've not gotten up. You say, sorry, sorry, I want to hear words like, you know, God's power is working now. Of course, I'll tell you sorry. The Christians will tell you sorry, you know, because you are feeling pain. But the power of God is working now. Let's pray together. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. And you surround yourself with such men who will see it as a miracle. As a miracle. As a miracle. The doctor once told me, he said, you know, this kind of thing, people always manage it, and all that, and all that. He said that. Now, because I had been healed before such a thing, something different, I told him to his face. In fact, I met the man at the airport this year. I said, in fact, this day I greeted him, and, you know, he was so happy. I've shown people the hospital before, Ajayi Medical Center in Ikorodu. And the man said, the way we are looking at it, I said, sir, I'll be back here in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be well. He said, you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, no. You don't know what I'm talking about. Of course, I left. I didn't go back in 2 weeks, 2001. I didn't. Because in 2 weeks, I wasn't sure. I just stayed on the word of God. I remembered what he had done before. I remembered what had happened before. And I said, it can happen again. I just believed God. I went back there, ran all the tests, and it all came out negative. So sometimes, you just need to see it as a miracle. A miracle is not a feeling. A miracle is not an observation, it's what you believe God for. Hallelujah. See, I believe in miracles. The number five, healing is a prayer point. Healing is a reason why we pray. Healing is a reason why we pray. Now, if it's a prayer point, it reinforces the fact that it is the will of God. It's why we pray. Now, if somebody is sick, that's not time to pray the Pauline prayers for him. You see, he can see the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints and then die. Because part of that glory is that you have a glorified body. Do you understand? Do you understand? Don't say, I'll pray the Pauline prayer for you, you know, so that you see. See what? See, I need healing. Hallelujah. I need healing. That's what I need. I mean, there was a time like that. There were two friends of mine. Something happened. I don't take healing like a joke. And if you notice very well, even in the natural, where I see that the person is a doctor, the way I act is very sweet. Because I don't joke about it. Naturally. So these two friends, one of them hosted a meeting. And then felt bad that the other person gave an altar call and ministered and said this and called for the sick and did that. So I asked both of them, before I know what happened between you, hope the sick were prayed for. They said yes. He said, let's talk tomorrow. All that one about you fighting is unnecessary. See, you can be fighting that somebody will die that night. Let's handle the sick first. They will say, why did you two minister that way? Why did you give an altar call? Why did you get on the pulpit? Why did you allow yourself to be used of the flesh? Not the devil, because you were healed. As simple as that. It's a miracle. And sometimes a miracle is very urgent. Very, very urgent. Very, very urgent. Healing is a prayer point. James 5:13. Is there any afflicted? Let him complain. Let him tell a friend. Let him put it on Facebook. Particularly you, this Facebook generation. Everything is on Facebook. You are not feeling fine. You put a picture on Facebook. You want to die? You think when people say we are praying for you, you think they are praying for you? They are only typing it. They just typed it. That's just the plain truth. You should know who to call for when you want to be prayed for. James 5:14. Is there any sick? Let him call for the elders. Let them pray over him. And anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. In other words, I can call on brethren. Pray for me. And it's not supposed to be a pray for me. And the guy says, don't worry. Mm-mm. Pray for me. The prayer of faith is not something you pray in absentia. You pray, I believe, I receive it, and I have it. So therefore, healing is a prayer point. Healing is a prayer point. I can ask to be prayed for to be healed. And I can have someone ask me to pray for he or she equally to be healed. The sixth. Do you know healing is both in the Old Testament and the New Testament? That is, whether you read Exodus 15:26, Psalm 103, verse 3 and 4, or you come to the New Testament, healing is in both ways and is the will of God. So there's nowhere in Scripture that you will read that healing is not the will of God. I'll have shared with you Genesis 12, is it 13, where Abimelech was healed, he was sick, he was sick in his house. And Abraham prayed. Or Isaiah 38, where Hezekiah, the king, was sick. And then the prophet was meant to pray for him. In those instances, it shows you that we can actually, in prayer, desire for another person to be healed. You can, and you should. You can, and you should. You can, and you should. So both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, healing is the will of God. I can see it in both Testaments. That means both before Jesus came, when he came, and when he rose from the dead. Healing is found in all the events. Before it, during it, when he came, and afterwards. Let's begin to close here. The last. Healing can be ministered, and healing can be received. Healing can be ministered, and healing can be received. Healing can be ministered, and healing can be received. Healing can be ministered. And healing can be received. Healing can be ministered. And healing can be received. In Matthew 10:8. Jesus having told them to. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Now says, freely have you received. Freely should you give. Freely should you give. Healing can be ministered. Healing can be ministered. I mean, I remember one guy like that. He's a pastor now. His brother came for one of our meetings. 95. We call it Dunamis, 95 or 4. Was a very small boy. His uncle, actually. And the guy, you know, said he was very ill. Hadn't gotten up from the bed. Parents were worried. Very, you know, sickly child. What amazed me that day was that he only brought a pen, biro. He didn't have a cloth. He said, I just believe when you lay hands on it, you'll be healed. Okay? I stretched out my hands, laid hands on it. I've never seen it before. I laid hands on it and he took it there. You know, and he alone just ministered it to the boy. He said, immediately I put the pen on him, he got up and he asked for food, and he has been well since then. It can be ministered, it can be received. It can be ministered, it can be received. Same way, it can be ministered to you. You can minister to another. It can also be received by you. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take off serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And the sick should recover. Amen. Healing is God's will for me. Healing is a sign of redemptive work. Sickness is never God's will for me. Sickness is never God's will for me. I said that in my heart, that sickness is never God's will for me. My body is a candidate for the healing power of God. Healing is a miracle, not a feeling, not an observation. So I believe God for it. Healing is a prayer point. Healing can be received by me now. Healing is a proof that God loves me. And he wants me well. Bless God. Thank you. Give him praise.